Leaders are all around us at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? In our Central Texas Leadership Series, KWBU has invited local leaders to talk with people they know who guide and inspire to find out what makes them tick. In this episode, Susan Cowley, Executive Director of Talitha Kum Institute. Hosting the conversation is Nan Holmes. This program was recorded April 6, 2017, in the KWBU studio.
Welcome to KWBU's Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Nan Holmes, talking today with Susan Cowley, Executive Director of Talitha Kum Institute. And Susan, it's like peaches and herb. We're reunited and it feels so good. For full disclosure, I personally spent 5 years at Talitha Kum, yes, and it transformed my life in a very good way. And I never tire, I mean never, of you telling the story of the organization's unique beginning. Can you share that story with the audience?
Oh, certainly. It's a story that is both sad and uplifting. We had been Cross Ties Ecumenical Church in South Waco for about 15 years. And in our Gospel Cafe ministry, we had watched children come and go, little babies kind of passed around the room, but not so much looked at deeply or spoken to. Little children weren't read to. So we went down one day to the local public school, which was Sol Ross Elementary at that time, which no longer stands, which is kind of sad. Mm-hmm. And we said to them, what is your number one problem with an entering kindergartner? And they didn't skip a beat. I thought I knew stuff. I thought I knew that they would say they haven't been read to, they don't know their letters and numbers. Oh, no, they didn't skip a beat. Looked right at us, said their mental health is already shot and they can't learn. And I had to ask them to repeat it because I was barely breathing. Their mental health is already shot and they can't learn. At that time, I owned a marketing firm, Nan, and I had no knowledge of neuroscience. I did not know what they were talking about. We were four women from a church, and we looked at each other and said, what next? And Carol Salveson, who's an occupational therapist, said, we need to have a visit with Dr. Keith Warren, who is a child psychologist. Mm-hmm. We went to see Keith, and Keith didn't skip a beat either. He was ready. When we said, what do we do with that information? He said, please start a mental health therapeutic nursery and begin at birth. Do not wait until they're three because you'll miss your greatest window of opportunity, which is now known to be conception to two. And so that's exactly what we did. He said, well, you can't visit one. I said, could I visit one in Texas? He said, oh, no, look them up. They're online and they're in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I can't even visit one. How do we do this? But God had called us to it, and we were going to do the very best we could without any more than being able to look it up online.
Well, you know, even though you were part of the creation and you've done just about everything there is to do with Cross Ties and Talitha Kum, even mop the floor, yes, carry out the trash,
hell yeah,
drive people around. What was at the core of your deciding to become executive director?
Oh, my goodness, Nan. You may know that I dragged my feet for 18 months. We interviewed. I was on the Covenant Partner Group, which is our governance group. We interviewed people. We came close to hiring one time in particular. And after 18 months, the Covenant Partners said to me, but you are the executive director of Talitha Kum. You do it for us in the meantime. Why don't you do that for us for all time? And I said, oh, no, no, God has all God wants from me, blah, blah, blah. And finally, they asked the most important question. Marcia Marty said, what are you resisting? And in a flash, I knew. I said, everything. I'm resisting all of it. And within 5 minutes, I was the executive director after 18 months of them telling me, but you need to do this. So I did.
Well, that is very interesting that you just, all of a sudden you had some kind of clarity that this is the direction to go. And can you share that there, is there anyone that you can think of? Everyone has different leadership styles, but who would you say influenced your own personal style from the beginning? or who are some of the people who influenced the style that you've had taken on and brought to Talitha Kum now?
That is an intriguing question, and I have never thought about it from that viewpoint. But I said the other night at our Rise Up Waco banquet, if you give to Talitha Kum, give in honor of someone who mentored you. And mentors, of course, come from all walks of life. But when I think back all the way across my life to my parents and my second grade school teacher, Mrs. Stroll, who was so gifted and wonderful, and when I had my very first job, Piers Bateman was my superior boss. And he taught me many things, but he taught me with the kid gloves on. He was never heavy-handed. And so across time, and then Bill Cardin was my supervisor at American Bank. He was the president. And Bill had a wonderful way of teaching without heavy-handedness, mm-hmm. without dictating to me. And so all across my life, I've had the people who would step in to correct me, but with the kindest way and in a way that said, I value you and I want you to grow and mature, but I don't need to make it about me. It's really about growing you into the person you can be. And so across time, I think I saw that if I would be that person for other people, value them deeply, mm-hmm. show them how much I valued them, thank them often but specifically, not just, oh, good job. At Talitha Kum, we don't let a teacher say, good job. And people say, why don't you do that? And we say, because it doesn't acknowledge the child deeply. It simply says, oh, yeah, oh, good, oh, good. And we don't do that. We mm-hmm. acknowledge, oh, my goodness, I see you love purple. Look at all those swirls of purple on the page. What do you see? And we're saying, I see what you did. I acknowledge you. And that's what I hope I do every day with our employees and volunteers and the people I come in contact with.
You know, that's no small thing because you sometimes have so much pressure on you to stop and to say, look, I need to mentor with kindness. I need to help those people. And even though I might venture a guess, what has been your most difficult decision as executive director?
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. One of the most difficult things every day is what do we do with the limited resources we have? And that was always your issue as well. Nonprofits today have less and less money to deal with, and they have a great responsibility to the donor. And so time and time again, when we needed to repair our roof in the last 3 years, instead of getting it repaired, I was setting out 26 buckets. And I mentioned that one day to Dr. Leslie King at First Presbyterian on a tour, and within 2 weeks, she had brought a $20,000 gift from First
Wow.
Pres. And then I didn't have enough, so I had to gather up about another $13,000. And every time I would think, well, maybe we have enough now, we'll just throw it on there, I would know that we needed that for core salaries and core administration of the program, and I wouldn't do it. And then this Christmas, I made specific requests, and we've had the money, and we fixed the roof, and there's no longer 26 buckets. And it's wonderful, but those are the decisions about money, which, and I really hate that. I wish the greater decisions were about program. And yet, now that I say that, I know that one of our biggest decisions was going out into public schools. Mm-hmm. That was a huge issue, and we did it.
Well, I applaud you for that because that is like a big step forward when you take an organization in that direction. After you've been one place, to just jump out of your comfort zone. And I have known you since you were running a very, very successful advertising agency. You had lots of programs, and you were very successful in so many areas with campaigns and different projects that you had. In fact, I'd say most projects that you would take on would become successful just to your determination and hard work and creativity. But what skills did you find you brought to Talitha Kum from the agency?
Oh, That has been a revelation almost every day and a great joy to see, because you think, well, I've had this long career in marketing. Now I'm at Talitha Kum. And I look back, and I've told you before, Talitha Kum was always our biggest client. And it was our biggest client in a pro bono way. And so it was sometimes difficult. But those marketing skills are used every day. The public relations skills are certainly used mm-hmm. every day. But I'll tell you, the greatest joy is that all the people who were a part of my career, whether they were clients or associates and colleagues in the business, they have all been the greatest joy to work with as a Talitha Kum executive director. Patrick Poli was my mm-hmm. creative design partner for 30 years, and he designed all of the things we used for Rise Up Waco and did that for us in a pro bono way with the help of some others. But it was such a joy to know that those relationships never go away if you have fostered them properly. They're always there for you. And it is a matter of how you collegially participate with other people through your whole lifetime. They're there for you because it was a good relationship.
Oh, I think that's very inspiring for those who are looking for some answers. That is something, that's one of the solutions, is to look to those you've had relationships with before, maybe not even related to what you're doing now. For those who are joining us, this is KWBU Central Texas Leadership Series. I'm Nan Holmes, today with Susan Kelly, Executive Director of Talitha Kum Institute. And before I go any further, when I say Talitha Kum Institute, say just a little word. Don't you still sometimes have people say, what is that organization's name?
Oh, certainly. Well, we do still have people, Nan, who call and say, is Ms. Kum in?
Yes, that I remember.
Yeah. Or is Talitha there?
Yes.
Talitha Kum, and I often forget to say this during a tour, Jesus is recorded in the book of Mark as having gotten to the home of Jairus a little late, and the daughter had died. Jairus has come running to Jesus far away, saying, come quickly, help my daughter, she's dying. He arrived, she had died, and the people outside laughed when he said he was going in. And he went in anyway and stood over this 12-year-old girl and said, Talitha Kum, my child, rise up. And she did. And then he said the most wonderful thing. He said, get her something to eat, which is so practical. And he also, of course, told the family, don't tell anyone this happened. He was always like, don't tell. But everyone ran through the whole village telling. Well, of course you would. But it is one of the things that we never forget is that we are raising up children and raising them to life, not because they're dead, but because in their brain, there could be a deadness that remained throughout their lifetime due to the chronic stress of deep, deep poverty and the horrible way cortisol, which is essential to us, our adrenaline system pumps it out so we can go into full flight when the tiger comes in the room or fight. Most of us wouldn't fight. Flight.
That'd be the flight.
It would be. I'd be fleeing. But these children feel that the tiger is always at the door ready to pounce, and it continues to send that cortisol flooding the brain. It's toxic for a reason. It gets you on the move. But if it's toxic to toddlers and infants whose neural pathways are forming, you can see on an MRI that it is snipping them, actually damaging the architecture of their brain as it is trying to form. And so our job at Talitha Kum is to say, my child, rise up, but rise up in every way, but particularly in brain development.
Oh, I think that's so well said, to just clarify what all that means. And it's a message of inspiration to me. It's a very positive thing that's going on that just many people do not understand fully. And I know you've been working with the community in so many ways. I couldn't even count them all as I was thinking of them. But what do you think still needs to be addressed by the leadership here in McLennan County, Waco? What's the still the thing we need to be doing?
I am so glad you asked that question. There are not that many people in Waco who understand brain development. And if we don't comprehend that that time between conception and two has set us up for a lifetime of success or failure, mm-hmm. then we will miss a boat as we continue and continue to try to remediate with teenagers, which is also essential because they didn't have Talitha-cum when they were birthed at five. And we are a birthed at five program. And we do send children out to be mentored kindergarten to college, which is also a very, very essential part of it. But if we don't capture the knowledge that is available from neuroscience, and if we don't train our teachers in brain development rather than only classroom management, and if we don't intercede for children in public school who never had an intervention, then we still have the school-to-prison pipeline. And the very idea that school and prison is now in research studies linked, school-to-prison pipeline, it begins with early grade suspensions when children are only 4 years old. And they can be so violent and so out of control that the school does not have a way to remediate quickly. It takes us 30 minutes to 3 hours to bring a child back to their prefrontal cortex from their midbrain or lower brain if they have a full meltdown. A teacher does not have that kind of time. We're now at La Vega Primary School, and we have, thanks to Rappaport Foundation, a sensory motor lab. And we take 20 children by appointment all day and when they have a meltdown. And we bring them into the sensory motor lab. We work with their sensory system to connect it well to their brain. And there's a long scientific talk about that. But what it does is help the child self-regulate and stay in the calm, alert state. I say to people who are on tour, you know, if you had a terrible, terrible car accident, and you were in a big wreck, that is not the time I can teach you physics, nor would I even think to say, shall we have a physics lesson now? You are trying to get the baby out of the back seat. And when that happens, you have dropped to your midbrain or lower brain, probably your reptilian brain that says, get out of this car. You cannot think about anything but getting out of the car. So a child who is in that state in a classroom is not someone you can teach. But if you take them into a sensory motor lab and you are well trained, and our interventionist has been with Talitha-cum 4 years and is highly trained, you know her, it's Abby Dizdar. Yes. She is so equipped now by being in our development program on Clay Avenue that she can be there alone, take these children one at a time, sometimes in small groups, teach them conflict resolution as she goes, also work with them when they're out of control, and they don't have to be suspended. The suspension itself is the harming factor that starts the school-to-prison pipeline because the child is told, you are not worth having around. We can't control you, and so you're out of here. A child who is trauma affected is not a bad child. They have some pretty ugly behaviors, but they are not bad children. They are trauma affected.
Well, thank you. I think that's so helpful information to hear over and over again. You know, you have to hear something quite a few times before it really sinks in. And just as we try to think about Talitha-cum and leadership, what would you say, and you see young people coming in to Talitha-cum and when you had the agency, what kind of advice do you have for someone who is new to the nonprofit world, coming into some position of leadership? They may not be the executive director, but they are going to be responsible in a leadership capacity. What do you think?
I think we have to respect what has gone before and really study the people who do this well. Invite them to lunch. Have conversations. I'm waiting now to have lunch with Kathy Reed now that that we are done with Rise Up Waco, which was a big, big event. But Kathy knows a lot of things I want to know, and she has agreed to let me pick her brain. That is so vital, and I will take notes. And there are many people in our community who know nonprofit work in the very best and highest fashion. And I think you have to both be patient with yourself, know that you cannot know it all. Nonprofits ask you to be the dimsty dumpster and take it all. And so when we do that, we are not going to be great at everything. We're going to be superior at a few things, and a lot of things we're going to need to learn. So the folks who are mentoring me now are the people who I respect in the nonprofit world. And it's the only way I know how to get up in the morning, except that God gets me up and makes me thankful I have this job.
Well, that is just great, Susan. I want to congratulate you on your Rise Up event. I've seen the photographs, and it looks like it was an amazing evening.
It was. It was inspirational, and I can't thank enough the sponsors and the people who attended. It was lovely, and Leah Stewart from Olive Branch served the most wonderful farm-to-table meal. And you know, we were a little worried, Nan, about passing food. We did it family style. But the children at Talitha Kumeet family style, if they can do it, we can do it. And we passed that food, and it was familial. And so it was joyful to be with each other in that familial way.
I love that idea.
Yeah, it was lovely. But the whole evening was, and LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, I hate to say that I have not followed his career because I don't follow pro football, but I know enough to be grateful when I see a humble and skilled person. He is humble and gentle, and by then I was very impressed because I'd watched all his footage, all the great plays he made, and he was a remarkable man. There aren't that many in the Pro Football Hall of Fame who never went to the Super Bowl, and there aren't that many who were inducted their very first year of eligibility, but that's how strong he was, how powerful mm-hmm. he was, and so we were just so grateful to have him come back to Waco, which is one of his hometown spots in life, and have him as our speaker. But yes, the event was outstanding, and it was made outstanding by 360 people who came to be with us.
Oh, I just love to have people tell me success stories. I think we need more and more to be looking toward not what we can't do, but what we can do.
Yes.
And I'm sure it was a whole army of people who came together.
Oh, my.
With a great love for Talitha Kumeet, but also wanting to feel needed.
Yes.
Feeling you can make that contribution. And I hope you'll have many other such events and will continue to be successful, because it is so unique and so wonderful to have this organization. But I know there are many days when you must despair. Are we going to be here next week, next year, next hour?
I tried to get over that. My prayer life increased a great deal because we pray and work, and you do the very best you can. But it's also, I prayed for Rise Up Waco that all of us on the committee, Alistair and Gary Parker, who are co-chairs, and Nelwyn Reagan, and so many who joined us. It was Susan Swanson and Lisa Spitzer. I mean, the list goes on. It was a wonderful list of folks who helped us. And the truth is, we needed a channel of grace. And the channel of grace can open if you are a part of it. We have to be the channel of grace. We can't simply pray for one to open. We're a part of that. And so I went in. I was late to the 5:30 VIP party, and I thought, well, that's fine. I'm not a VIP. I'll just be late, but I will have my head on straight. And went in and was greeted by Alistair, and she said, oh, LT is already taking pictures. You must have your picture made. It was a channel of grace. It was open. It was friendly. We were all relaxed because every person had done their part.
I just think that's a wonderful story to tell to those people out there who are in leadership positions at nonprofits who are afraid to try something.
Right.
The big event, the scary thing that you need to do, sometimes you just have to go by grace and that you feel like this is what we need to do and somehow we will get it done. Well, this has been a wonderful conversation, as always.
Thank you.
There's so many things I think of when I think of Talitha Kumeet, but I think that one important thing is that you have children now who are in high school.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, about to graduate.
Yes,
that... and go to college, which we'd always hoped for. And so one is on her college tour with her mentor this spring. She said, oh, I've already decided which college. And she's on the college bowl team at her high school, plays the violin in the orchestra. And she had a very, very difficult upbringing and life in the beginning in particular. So her mentor said, oh, no, we must take the college tour. That's what we do. And so they're taking the college tour, and I have no doubt that she will be very successful.
Well, I think that's wonderful. I think all people in leadership at nonprofits and organizations need to know that sometimes you just start with a lot of hope,
yes,
and you just keep going.
Yes, yes. We had no knowledge, but we gained knowledge, and we gained the gifts and the graces that come with people.
Well, good. Well, thank you so much, Susan. I just really appreciate it because we just don't get to visit often enough.
No, we don't. We must have lunch more often.
Yes. And if you had to just, you're the ad person, if you had to make some kind of slogan or something for Waco, McLennan County, for how we can go forward with this, can you think of how? I remember that you did a slogan when the school board had a bond issue.
Oh, that was the city of Waco.
Oh, city of Waco.
Yes. What did we call it, Nan?
But I know
it was very successful. But we Prosper Waco is on the right track. But I think it's a hopeful slogan that Prosper to call it Prosper Waco. At the same time, I want to say we can do this. Prosper Waco, we can. We can make this happen. I just hope everyone hears the message that you need to start at birth.
Yes, I agree with you 100%. And everything I know about the human brain, I know from Helen Benedict, which I
yes,
just a wonderful person. But I hope that they will say that it's more than just prosper. It's so much more.
Yes, so much more. Yes, prospering begins with a baby. Mm-hmm. And that if that baby doesn't prosper, how do we hope our whole community will prosper? Every baby needs to prosper.
And I always think of the words of Dr. T. Barry Brazelton, that if five people are invested in a child's life, they will succeed. It doesn't have to be related, whatever. Even more than five, the better. But if you can be invested in that baby's life, then there's going to be a good outcome. And I think you're seeing the fruits of that right now.
Oh, we are. And our teachers are sometimes that one person. You can have one person in the first few years, and it will make all the difference.
Yes, I know that that's so true. Well, Susan, I hope that we'll continue this conversation.
Yes.
And best of luck to Talitha Coom and all the wonderful people there, all the people at the cafe and Cross Ties Church, all doing, they're walking the walk and talking the talk and doing the jobs that so many just don't feel they can do. And I'm so glad that you're there in that community.
Oh, thank you, Nan. You're a part of our history, and we love that.
This conversation was recorded April 6, 2017, in the KWBU studios. You can find this and past episodes of the Central Texas Leadership Series on our website at kwbu.org.